time of discussion here before we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we want to read a couple of scriptures in Matthew, and then we'll go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in a few moments. If you're over in Matthew 26, we'll begin in verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's talk about the setting of this particular text for a moment before we move over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. If you'll notice across the page, one page over in your Bibles, above verses 1 through 5, if you have headings in your Bible, it might read something like this: "The Leader's Plot to Kill Jesus." And of course, we know the headings are not part of the scripture, but they're there for helps. But it may say something along those lines: the leader's plot to kill Jesus. And then there's another heading that follows after that, but that might be above verse 14 through 16. It says Judas agrees to betray Jesus, is what mine says. And if you'll swap ends and go to the right of our current text and get over there above verse 36 and down through 46, mine says Jesus prays at Gethsemane. And then if you were to go a little further over, it'll say Jesus is arrested. And then if you keep going, it goes down from there as far as the abuse of Jesus goes. And of course, it results in his subsequent crucifixion. Right in the middle of that, you think on each side of it, you have all of this darkness. And right in the middle of it, we have this passage, which is so beautiful and so meaningful, this supper that we read about. And it's meaningful today for a lot of reasons, which we'll look at. But it's dropped right in the middle of the world's evils, Satan's wickedness, and the conspiracy to have the Son of God killed. Right when all of this is shaping up and being molded, you find this beautiful passage, which is for you and I today, okay? And Jesus calmly in this passage, very lovingly, is fellowshipping with his disciples. He has every reason to be uptight. Believe me, we all know that. But he's very lovingly and kindly with the ones he loves. And in so doing, he gives them an ordinance to his church, which is us today. And as ones that will be following him down through the centuries, however more years there may be left, the ordinance is given to the church. And now if you'll turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, before we read this text, I'll tell you something that I found interesting in my studies. I never fail to learn new things every time I seem to study for a message. God will share new things with me and open my eyes. But I didn't know this, but 1 Corinthians was, of course, we know it was written by the Apostle Paul. Most of us knew that. But most scholars agree that this epistle of the Apostle Paul's, was written before any of the Gospels had been penned. And that makes it pretty interesting, because if that's the case, then this is the first biblical record of the Lord's Supper. And if you will notice, the verse 24 and 25, or the greater part of the verses, are in red, right? Means it's the words of Jesus, meaning they're quotations from Jesus. It's also important to note that this account, as you read it, perfectly is consistent with the gospel accounts, which would have been written later, if the scholars are correct. And so, of course, that shouldn't come as a surprise to us. We know it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is accurate. But the neat thing about it is the way that God accomplished the perfect recording of this text by the Apostle Paul. I want you to notice verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord," this is Paul talking, that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and so on and so forth. But he says, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. What's Paul saying there? Paul's saying, what Jesus passed on to me, I'm passing on to you. Passed on to the Corinthians through the writing of the letter. Passes on to you and I today as the church, as we read the letter. And it's something that was received from the Lord directly, when you think about it. We know, as students of the Bible, that the Apostle Paul got saved way after Jesus had been resurrected and ascended into heaven. We all understand that. Read about it in Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road, where he was miraculously saved. And then God used him to write the majority of the New Testament. I mean, the greater part of the letters and all of this of the New Testament. And it shouldn't come as a surprise, because Jesus in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15 says, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Jesus said, hey, I'm going to use this guy. He's going to go through a lot, but I'm going to use this man. And he did, of course, to write so much of the New Testament. But our Lord just did exactly what he promised. And he used the Apostle Paul in mightier ways than any other New Testament character. Even in mightier ways than the disciples that walked alongside him during his earthly ministry. Including introducing to the church the writing of this ordinance, the Lord's Supper. Again, I qualify it. Most scholars think that is when the Gospels were written after this. And so I don't tell you this because that's a surprise, because nothing surprises me about God. He's able to do anything, and his word is accurate. And so we should never be shocked when we see something in his word. We know he can do anything. But just for the way of learning, each time the Lord's Supper is served, I feel like I like to have some comments and maybe shed some light on something that maybe we haven't thought of, or maybe we didn't know, or maybe something we needed to be reminded of. And so with that being said, let me just quickly say that we're going to read this text in just a moment. But it is, you'll notice the words, remember. This is a remembrance. It's remembering what Jesus did. If there was any particular word that fits and describes this whole text, it would be remember what Jesus did for you. Remember, okay? And so a lot of people maybe not that familiar with the partaking of the Lord's Supper, and what there's a lot of deep meaning there, no doubt, and I'm not trying to overlook that, but it's pretty simple. Remember what he did. The bread, the juice, shed blood, broken body, the substitutionary death upon the cross. Remember those things. So with that being said, let me begin in verse 23, and let's go ahead and read the entirety of this text. It says, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat and drink, as often as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily, let's pay attention to that right quick, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now verse 28 tells us that we should examine ourselves. The purpose of examining ourselves for this time is to see if the supper is appropriate for us at the moment. Talks about doing so unworthily, okay? It would be examples of doing it unworthily would be, for one thing, if we were not born again Christians and had not followed the first step of obedience and baptism, then we would not need to partake of this supper because we're not prepared. Now, again, not trying to split hairs on the baptism, but we need to be baptized. We're told to be baptized. And let me say this, if we've held out on that, that's the other ordinance of the church. There's two ordinances given to us, this one and baptism. So if you're one of those people here that maybe has just accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've never taken that step and you haven't been baptized, then you're missing out on that other ordinance as well, okay? So that's important for you to know. And so I don't want to discourage you tonight by telling you that. I'm really encouraging you to do the right thing, okay? Another thing would be if we were in rebellion. If we were, had something in our life that God was dealing with us and we knew we were wrong and we were in rebellion against God, and our hearts are not right for something like this. Our hearts are not prepared to really remember and consider what's being done with the supper, this very significant symbol of what Jesus did upon the cross. And so we take this time to examine ourselves, and you can pray at the altar. You can pray right where you are. We're not going to have the piano. These ladies will have an opportunity to pray. And, perhaps you have something you want to confess before the Lord, before you partake of this supper, or you just want to say, God, search my heart. Help me to know that my heart is right before I do this. Whatever the case is, we'll take just a few moments to let everybody have opportunity to examine themselves, and then I'll take up and we'll serve the Lord's Supper. Father, we come before you thankful tonight for the privilege you give us, Lord, of hearing from your word and your Holy Spirit dealing with our heart and showing us our sins. We know that your Spirit is a comforter, but it's also a convictor of our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for showing us where we're wrong. I pray, Lord God, that each one of us would be repentant of anything we've done wrong, and we've done a lot wrong. We know that. We're fallible. But we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, as we observe this supper, I pray, Lord, that it be very instrumental in striking in our hearts and our minds the truth of what you really did, Lord Jesus, remembering that your sacrifice was the ultimate, to give us the ultimate gift. And so, Lord, as we do this, we pray your blessings. I pray, God, that you would move across the midst of this auditorium with your Holy Spirit, touch hearts and lives, and Lord, allow us to enjoy this meal. Lord, it's a time of appreciation and thanks as well. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll ask these fellas that are going to help me to come.
Did one of you go upstairs yet? Yeah, go ahead. Bread is a symbol of his substitution for us on the cross, so we wouldn't, he would die, so we wouldn't have to die for our sins. I want to ask Brother Aaron if he'll lead us in a word of prayer. Given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Juice is, of course, symbolic of his shed blood upon the cross. I want to ask Brother Bryce if he'll lead us in a word of prayer. Scripture says, after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. If you will, you can just leave those cups right there in your pew or right there, set it on the floor right in front of your pew, however you would like. Our brother David is going to come. The Scripture says, and they, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so he's going to lead us in a song. Before he does that, let me just say how proud I am of these young men and so many other young men we've got coming up in our church. And I just, they're leaders already, and I'm proud of them. And let me just quickly remind you that next Sunday is just a morning service, okay? Sunday morning and worship service, okay?
All right, let's stand. If we do, like always, stretch across the aisles, grab the person's next to your hands, and we're going to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
I'm sorry.
All right, here we go. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Lord, we love you tonight, and we're grateful for all that you do for us. God, we know that when you came to this world, you knew you was going to the cross. You've told us in the book of Hebrews that the joy was set before you, and that joy was me and those that would accept you as Lord and Savior. And God, we're grateful that you made a way that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be cleansed, and that we could be made whole again. And God, as we sang earlier, you gave everything. You gave your life. And Lord, I pray that we would take this night to consider what we've given back to you. And Lord, if we have fallen short and only give a part, I pray that we would surrender our all to you tonight before we close our eyes and sleep. God, we're grateful for this Christmas season where we can think about you coming to this world. And God, I pray that during this Christmas season we would draw closer to you. God, we thank you for our church. We thank you for all the wonderful people that make up the Bible Baptist Church.
Amen.
And God, I pray that your blessings would be upon each individual and each family. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We'll be loading up in just a few moments. We'll give just a few more minutes for fellowship here, but going caroling, if you want to go with us, got some vans parked out front. If we need more vans, I'll